What's up, Sports is a Job podcast listeners? And for the very first time, you can probably actually see our face because we're going to be using the video here. And as I was telling our guests, you know, I'm wearing this icy jersey, this icy hat. I'm looking good, looking fresh. When you look good, you feel good, you perform good. So this is going to be a good podcast episode. But I got the two people behind the Rookie Contract podcast that you've seen. These two people have been a part of the Sports is a Job team really since the beginning, in their early ages. I mean, they started off as contributors in writing, and then they've transitioned into the new role of being podcasters and pushing themselves and helping share the stories of people out there in different ways. So I'd like to welcome Dakota and Kate to the podcast. If you guys want to introduce yourselves to the listeners.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go ahead. I am Kate. Colby said, I've been with the Sports as a Job community since probably around April. I'm roughly around there, but you know, it's been a great experience. And me and Dakota just started on this podcast because he was just like one day thinking this would be really awesome to start this whole thing. And I think it's been really cool to just be able to meet people in this sports industry that are kind of going through the same things that we're going through. So why not kind of put two and two together and go for it?
Yeah. And so that leaves me. I'm Dakota. I'm the second half of the Rookie Contract. graduated from University of Iowa in May of 2020. Perfect time to graduate, especially into sports. So that was really fun. But that actually kind of got us kind of into the whole podcast. I joined Colby. I don't exactly remember when, but I was featured on a podcast that I don't think is still around, the Free Agent podcast. And so, yeah, Colby and I were just talking. And then after that, we were just kind of shooting it. And he found out that I was interested in doing a podcast one day. I was kind of thinking about doing it with some friends, just doing, you know, similar to like a Barstool type podcast where we just talk about football, talk about sports. We were going to talk about the XFL, but that kind of went down the drain, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, eventually once the quarantine started and once sports kind of became a little less available in terms of jobs, I was just like, Colby, man, it's time to do the podcast. I think it's time to get into that world. And I knew Kate, she had a good personality that I thought would mesh well with kind of what I was looking for, and shot her a text, said, hey, let's get this going. And it's history. It's been going since. So it's been super fun. Way more fun than I thought it would be. And it's really taught me a bunch about, you know, things I never would have thought. That's something I have in my cover letter. It's like, it taught me way more than I thought I would have known. And super thankful for everything that's kind of evolved since.
And obviously, you know, with everything that you, both of you have been doing, and I see all of it. Like, it's crazy to see. I see y'all faces everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the people, and that's the beautiful thing about it is, I when I started the Sports as a Job, like, all the people that I kind of helped out with it have gone through it. When I look at it, you know, I'm on social media scrolling and I'm seeing these different things. I see everybody's face out there. People are being interviewed for other podcasts. People are being highlighted by their schools for being alumni. Kate's being a contributor at Sports Sorority in a bunch of different places. I just got off a conversation with another podcast that possibly we're bringing on Sports as a Job. They were like, yeah, I just interviewed your duo from the Rookie Contract and then interviewed the Cutback podcast. So your guys' faces are there everywhere now. You know, I can't, everywhere I turn, I see Dakota and Kate's face everywhere. Good or bad, I mean, it is what it is.
But hopefully mostly good. But
that's the thing, right? So this for you guys, right? It's to help you get where you want to go. It's help you to build skills, build connections. And I'm curious, you know, from the last time we talked, and if you want to share with the listeners, what are your guys' career aspirations? So Kate, you're graduating 2021. Dakota, you're looking, you're a free agent looking for a job. So let's start with short term. Let's start with the next year or 2 years. What are your guys' career aspirations?
Wow, that is a tough question, because honestly, the sports world, like, you don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, no one could have predicted this pandemic happening and closing down sports forever, not forever, but you know, forever in the sense that you can't really go to the games. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking by the time I graduate, I want to have something lined up. And I mean, something in sports doesn't necessarily have to be in the area that I want to go into. Obviously, I want to go into reporting and all that. But if it's a sales job, if it's marketing, whatever, honestly, anywhere where I can get my foot in the door is essentially like where I want to go. Because mm-hmm. if I'm around this whole sports landscape, I'm already going to be putting in my best effort because I want to be wherever it is that I can just like make a name for myself and just kind of go off of that.
Yeah. And kind of to that point, you know, I think, I mean, in the past 5 months, or 6 months to be even, the sports world has changed a bunch. I mean, in probably around like May, August, it was pretty barren in terms of what positions were open. And all that. But I've honestly been seeing in the past few months, you know, there've been a lot more jobs opening up, a lot different jobs. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of like what I'm going for, when I graduated with a journalism, mass communication, and then sport and recreation management double major. So it kind of gave me to, I guess, not be picky with jobs. You know, if I were to pick out of a hat what I would want to do, it'd probably be public relations or to work in the communications department. But honestly, as of late, I've also been looking at, you know, working in social media, working, you know, helping out with a social media department, because I think that's going to be one of the bigger, you know, one of the bigger takeaways of everything that's kind of happened. Because I mean, if you can't go to the game, your next best experience is going to be through the social media team or through the communications team, because, you know, their job is to get the game to you when you can't necessarily be there. So I think that's going to be one of the bigger markets that I'm looking at, especially within, you know, the near future, just because I see so much growth potential. I've seen so many teams in the past few months get incredibly creative with how they tailor the content to bring to the fans, since they, you know, a lot of the teams can't have full capacity or, you know, even close to what they're used to. That's kind of the industry that I'm looking at right now.
And that's a good point you make there, because, you know, behind the scenes, word on the street, when I talk to these directors and these executives at these companies and these teams, they're telling me, yeah, there's going to be a lot of positions that you've never seen before in the next year mm-hmm. or two, because now we have to adapt to the times. We have to be a little creative. You're going to see companies downsize a little bit, maybe. So that's going to mean, you know, they're going to be looking for people who are generalists, not necessarily mm-hmm. specialists, but can you do it all? And I'm also seeing a lot more people go into the agency side of it. Like they're going into the agency side because it seems like the people I've talked to in the agency, their work has just doubled. Their work has doubled mm-hmm. because a lot of other people in sports are downsizing. So they're looking for outside help. And another area, like Kate was talking about, like be open, right? Be open to working any job in sports, but also be open if you have to, if it's necessary, to leave sports for a little bit. I'm sure you guys interviewed a bunch of people. I've interviewed mm-hmm. a bunch of people who leave the mm-hmm. sports world to do a job outside, but they're able to take those transferable skills and bring it into the sports industry and work the job that they love and they're passionate about. So now Absolutely. The rookie contract, right? 13 mm-hmm. episodes in, and you've guys done countless amount of interviews already. Mm-hmm. What has yes. been the biggest surprise to you guys individually when it comes to doing podcasting? Like what have you loved the most about it? What have you hated the most about it? Just the different things going into that.
So I'll start on that. The thing that I definitely didn't expect was, well, I don't necessarily think that my expectations were like, you know, ground, but I definitely didn't expect it to have the reception that it did. Mm-hmm. It was really, you know, surprising in a good way to see that a lot of people were interested in not only listening to the podcast, but being on it, you know. So we're a podcast that kind of thrives off of, you know, guests and things like that. But for in terms of what I dislike the most, I would have to say editing the audio for sure is something that I could go without. But another thing I really like is just sharing stories. I'm in this position so that way I can help people share their story. And an episode that I have probably listened to three or four times now is the one we just released with Richard Hoke. It was incredibly inspiring for me, especially. It was something that really kind of tailored. It was very well tailored to handling the quarantine, handling rejection, which is something that a lot of people are going through now. And I think that, you know, being able to share that with someone, you know, I got a couple messages about how it kind of helped them get out of a rut. And so I think being able to do that is kind of, you can't really describe that feeling, you know. And I know you just posted something not long ago about how it was, I think, three episodes in or 3 days. I remember the number three, but you were able to make an impact on someone that you probably wouldn't have been able to, you know, had you not had the podcast. So I think that's been one of the, you know, one of the few things that has been kind of helping me keep going. It's hard not to wake up and be excited to share some stories that could help impact other people.
I completely agree with that. I mean, probably one of the best things that I've gained over like this podcast would probably be like Dakota was saying, like the stories, all the people's journey, they're all going to be different. So I feel like once we kind of learn more about each individual person and their own journey, like it's very interesting. Kind of like the whole premise behind Sports is a Job, which is kind of cool. It kind of all ties in together, how everyone's journey is very, very much different. And but I mean, we're all on a similar path, which is really cool to kind of hear these stories. And I've been able to kind of keep connections with these people that we've talked to. And it's not just like all about sports. Like there's this one girl that we did interview. Shout out Lisa Ann Higgins. We literally have a chat going where we talk about Bachelorette because it's wild. Yeah. So it's amazing the amount of, I guess, people that you can kind of impact, and they kind of impact you, even if you don't think that they do. It's just like those little things that they say, and you're just like, oh, I'm gonna remember that. And so it's just something like that just kind of stays with me. So I really appreciate that. I mean the downside of this whole podcast thing is that I haven't been able to like meet people like in person, but I mean that's the only downside. But I feel like this is like the best that we can do with what we have throughout this pandemic. So even if it is on a Zoom call, I feel like I'm still kind of like interacting, communicating with these people, and we kind of see like everything that's going on. Like you see all my weird quirks that I do, and you know, it's good. We all have fun with it. You see, it's kind of like I'm there in person with them.
It's interesting to see. So, you know, Dakota mentioned that reception. I was so glad to see the reception you guys got when you released your first couple episodes, because as you mentioned, I was thinking about my first three episodes. I think I had like five listeners in total on the first three episodes. And
that's what, you know, I was thinking.
That's what I was expecting. Sure.
But you guys got, I can't remember, but you guys got like 100 something right off the bat when I was texting you. And I was like, wow. It's like, I literally have only my mom, my dad, and my friends supporting me on the podcast, you know, the first three episodes. Like,
I want to say it was like 165 or 170 on the first episode. Wow. And I was like, wait, okay, that definitely is not what I expected. Like, I mean, I'm happy. If I were to say like what it was worth, I would agree. Like I was happy to see that people were receptive to it, because I think that we're doing something that not a lot of people are doing. I think that we're hitting a market that is not necessarily untapped. Like we're definitely not like the only people talking to people that are fresh into the industry, but I think that we get a perspective that a lot of people can like relate to and a lot of people can see themselves in, because, you know, we're all going through this. Like, the whole thing that I've noticed with the SM sports, which I'm going to be fully transparent, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what SM sports means.
Isn't it social media?
But
sports?
I do.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought so. But I just thought it sounded sports. Okay. I just thought it sounded kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I still rep the hashtag and all that, but I just wasn't fully aware what it meant. But I mean, I've noticed that community is super like close knit. I remember sending a screenshot of the like Google Calendar with everyone that Kate and I were planning on talking to. with a friend of mine, and he was like, yeah, I know every single name on that list. And that's so I crazy. Think it's cool because like people can see people they don't necessarily know, but like they know on social media, and then they can further their understanding of like where they've been, where they're going, and kind of their journey. So that's been probably the coolest part, actually, now that I thought back on it. That's been the coolest thing probably.
I mean, we're the stories like Kate was mentioning, like all these stories, and a lot of times we find out like these guests that we have on, they have more of an impact on us than we ever thought they would, right? You have these conversations, like it's so weird how certain times in my, you know, when I was interviewing these people, like I was feeling a certain way. I was in my feelings, or I was in this rut, or I was wasn't as confident, and I would have these conversations with people, and then it was like as if like whether you believe in God or whatever you believe in, like somehow some higher power knew exactly what I needed to hear and instilled the wisdom into that person I had on the guest. Like there was one point where I was having like this feeling about being a generalist, like this insecureness about being not being confident because I've never specialized in one area. And then I have someone who's 30, 40 years into Matt Farrell, 30, 40 years into the sports industry experience, just started his own agency, was director of marketing for the US Olympics, and different things like that. And he was like, I didn't tell him how I felt, but he literally was like, I made my career on being a generalist. Like I made it how far I am. I was never a specialist. And I was like, I don't know who told you what I was feeling. And I looked him in the eyes with the biggest smile. And I was like, I don't know. I was just like, what is going on? Like you just answered all my prayers. You just let everything out of me go. And it's cool to see all of that happen. Were you guys nervous at all when you guys first started doing it? Like, was there any nerves or was there anything that you kind of had to work through? Or, I mean, both of you are pretty outgoing anyways. And Kate, she's in front of the camera and stuff.
First, we weren't really sure what to expect. Like, we had to work through the kinks. Like, there were, like, just a few things, like, where we made, like, it was just kind of awkward at first because like we didn't know like how it was like gonna go. Like we had to like really work through it all, like the different things, like, hey, like ask a question here, like no weird pauses, like just make it like as conversational as possible to where the other person feels comfortable, because you don't want to make it like to where everyone's just kind of like awkward and it's like that awkward silence and you're just like awkward turtle.
Like
you want to make people as comfortable as possible so it's not super weird, and like we're doing now, we're just kind of having a conversation.
And to exactly what Kate was saying, like the first recording we did with Anna Lee, I remember it was kind of, I was pretty thankful that it was her on the first episode, because she really helped with carrying the conversation. She was super, like, super outgoing, super easy to chat with. But yeah, there were definitely times in the beginning recordings where, like, right before I allowed them into the room, like, I had the butterflies and all that. But I mean, with, you know, we've recorded way more episodes than we have than we've put out, so I think over time it's really, you know, I can see it myself in terms of like hearing how we were in the beginning, how many I had to get out of myself, how many times I had to cut out
on like asking like concise questions, because I know like I used to just ask like these wordy things, I'd just be like talking off the cuff, and it's just like no, think more concisely.
I think also a thing that that I've been able to do is kind of like, okay, so I'm a huge Sean Evans guy, like Hot Ones. So like before some interviews, like there's a compilation on YouTube, or many compilations on YouTube, of like people getting like happy with the like questions he asks. Cause they're not just like, so why are you in sports? Or, you know, why are you in this? Like he asks questions and then they're just like, wait, how did you know that? And so like that's kind of my goal each time we record, is to like get them to, because for me nothing hits different, nothing hits as good as like someone being like, man, that's a good question, or like I never really thought of that. And so I think that kind of that's the approach that I've been kind of going after, is getting the person to be a little off, like caught off guard a bit in a good way of like what I ask, and kind of it makes them more interested to talk about it, because if it's something that, you know, they've spoken about countless times, they're just going to be like, yeah, I did this, I did that, I hear this, I hear that. Like, I want them to be able to explain something for the maybe one of the first times where they can kind of go through it you know, for the first time with us. And I think that that's something for sure that's been something I've learned, something I've been trying to get better at. Because I mean, before, Kate, you and I both had a Google page where we like had our questions, you know, word for word on there, and we're like, so got you into sports?
We were like so overthinking the whole process, and we're like, you know, just roll with it. Like, that's what I've been learning, is just like, however the conversation's going, I'm just like, all right, we'll just gear it around that.
Yeah.
Work with it.
Yeah. And I mean, learning the angle, I think, while we record, because I mean, I go into the I go into the recording with an idea, like, you know, someone's working social media, I have an idea of what I want to talk about and like what I want to ask. And I'll have a few questions, you know, if I end up, if, you know, that awkward silence comes up. But I think that a lot of the times, especially lately with the most recent recordings, I've been doing a lot of like basing my questions off of what they've said, or, you know, if I think of something, I'll jot it down real quick. And then so that way I can kind of refer back to that. But yeah, it's funny, kind of, you know, I went back a couple of days ago and listened to the first episode, and it was kind of funny just to hear like how different we are, you know, even just in a few months. But it's growth that I think neither of us, I mean, I guess I'll speak for myself. I didn't expect to grow as much as I have in terms of, you know, I saw the first graphics that we used to put out and, you know, comparing that to the graphics now, and like the audio quality, just little things that other people might not notice, and that's totally fine if they don't. But being able to see like the growth from both of us is, you know, really rewarding too.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you talk about looking back at the growth. I have the first three episodes up there. So for the people who are listening, if you really want to go back and listen to it, I mean, I literally rant for like 10, 15 minutes by myself. And it's so funny because I remember the first episode, it was kind of like an introduction of who I am, right? And I didn't want to read the question to myself. So I had my ex-girlfriend. I was like, I know you know nothing about sports, but can you pretend like you're interviewing me? Like I say my answer, and then you'll see it like this weird transition into a girl's voice, and she asks me a question, and then I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. I didn't really think about that. Let me think about that.
But
I've already had that preset answer because I made the questions for myself.
I like that.
That's good.
Listening, like when I first when we were after we recorded the first episode and I was editing it, it was just one of those things where like when you're younger and you hear your voice on like a voicemail and you're just like, oh, like that's what I sound like. Like I had that for a few episodes where I'm just like, I don't even want to put this episode out, like I cannot stand it. But that's just kind of with the you know, doing something where you're either seeing yourself or hearing yourself. I know I'm my worst critic. So when I heard, at first, when I heard my voice, I'm like, why did I, it's not even like I made it sound like that. It just does.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, I mean, even with like the sports of the job, I've seen, it's just cool seeing all this growth. Honestly, that it boils down to it being really cool. You know, you saw me right when I joined and kind of what I was capable of. And I mean, Kate, same with you. Like, I don't know. It's very cool to see. Brings a smile to my face all the time. And it's something that I like to talk about. Like usually if I write something, I'll, you know, put it on Facebook and tell my parents to like it. But with the podcast, it's something that like, it's cool to talk to my friends about and be like, yeah, like, you know, I just talked to, you know, for example, Richard Koch, NFL. I talked to Jenny Fisher, WNBA. I talked to Jennifer Fisher, the Green Bay Packers. Like, no, but it's just cool to see. Yeah, I know. I remember like reaching out to both of them and they both responded in the same kind of like 48-hour window. And I would always be like, wait, okay, Jennifer.
Which one is this?
Like,
can't get
yeah,
it
yeah,
up.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, it's cool. Like, especially the people that maybe were free agents or kind of interning, it's cool to see them, you know, get that position. Or, I had one of our previous guests reach out to me and he's like, hey, like when I got interviewed, they actually listened to the episode that
that's cool.
We recorded. And wow, so I'm just like, awesome. Oh, that's cool, man. Like, yeah, it was super cool to hear all that.
And that's the cool thing. That's the thing that for me has been the most pleasure, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. or the what makes me happy is seeing that growth yeah. between all of you, like Dakota and Kate. Like, I remember Kate when we were like, hey, you know, you pitched me the idea of doing the roundup segment, right? Remember
yeah.
you know, the first time you were interviewing people on camera, like, and I'm sure you've seen it too, like the growth you had towards the last ones that you did, like your questions got a little bit better. You could tell.
Yeah, I think it basically made me become a better, I guess, communicator overall, because like I was practicing on camera more and honestly much needed experience, because I don't know, I guess it's really good to be able to learn through it, kind of see how it goes and then see what to work on. So that was honestly really good experience to be able to create this content and kind of see what I need to work on. And that's been really helpful for me, especially with the podcast and from the start to where we are now, as you guys both mentioned, like this growth has been tremendous just for like our individual selves and the process of working in this industry.
Yeah. And yeah, practice makes perfect. That's
yeah, exactly.
Practice makes perfect.
And you have to, like, everything that you're both of you have been saying, at the core of it is action. Without the action, without your guys' willingness to be like Dakota, you know, when it came to articles, like, hey, what do I need to work on? Do I need to make it longer, shorter? Kate, you know, improving on your on camera, on the podcasting, on the articles. Without your guys' willingness to take action and initiative to do things, this growth would have never happened. So that's an interesting mindset that for the past couple of weeks I've been trying to dive into is the people who are willing to take action compared to the people who are kind of not willing to do or shy to do it. How do the people that take action, what are they thinking about? How are they approaching things? What are the things that they're telling themselves in order to take action? And I want to be able to take that, extract that, and give it to the people out there who are introverts, who are scared to get on camera, scared to do a podcast, scared to write. So for Dakota and you, Kate, now this is a very big winning question. So I'm going to let you guys think about it a little bit here. You already know what I'm about
honestly,
to ask.
Honestly, I would just say go for it. What do you got to lose? I mean, I said this in another podcast that me and Dakota literally just had earlier today. And I was like, that's the move. That's the motto. Go for it. Because honestly, you really don't know what's going to happen. Like I was saying, like no one could have been prepared for this pandemic happening. So
and if you were, I got some questions for you.
I mean,
we're ready for this.
I want my lottery numbers.
Yeah.
But just being able to kind of take any opportunity, go for it, whatever it is, because I mean, the worst you can do is get a no, fail, whatever. But that means you keep on going. Like that's not gonna interrupt what you want to do.
But how for you, Kate? Okay, so I want to go dive a little more deeper for you, Kate, because you are a woman in the sports industry. You're a woman that's aspiring to work in sports and do that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And it's a different game. Like I've recognized it, and people out there need to recognize it's a different game for you. It really is, right? Because I think for you, when you're getting on camera, you're putting out content, you have a lot more to worry about when people judge you compared to men do. Like people will judge you on how you look or how you say things or you being a woman. And the matter of fact is that women in the sports industry, unfortunately, you guys have to work 10 times harder compared to your counterpart, a man who doesn't have to do as much. Is there, you know, do you feel any of that when you go into on camera? Are you even thinking about that? Or are you kind of still, again, what do I have to lose? I don't really care. It is what it is type of deal.
That is a good question. Well, honestly, well, coming on this question, I mean, what I like to do, if there's any sort of like discrepancies about like my own work ethic, like I get that. But if it's anything regarding how I look, anything regarding like outside of like how I actually perform my job.
Yeah.
I say that has nothing to do with me. And you know what I say to that? I say we got to swat off the haters. So your little fly swatter and you swat them off because you don't need any energy in your life. I mean, anytime I get sort of like weird DMs or anything related to that, I just, you know, delete it because I really don't care to have that sort of energy around me unless it's something dedicated to my work or anything that I have done and something to help me, then I really don't care to kind of have that around me.
Yeah. I like that because I you know, for me, you talked about the social media DMs. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us guys, yeah, we'll have people slide into our DMs, but mostly it's like the fake spam IG mono accounts.
Yeah.
That's the problems we have to deal with. But like for women, like you, Kate, like you guys got to deal with the guys out there who that are doing that sort of thing. And I feel for all the women in the sports industry. And I think that's why, you know, I got kind of emotional this past weekend when the Miami Marlins announced Kim as a new GM, you know, the first women GM
incredible
in any of the major sports. And I got emotional thinking about it because I was like, wow, like if I have a daughter, like if I'm blessed to have a daughter one day in the future, like if my daughter says, hey, like daddy, I want to be a GM. I'm like, well, yeah, you can.
Of course
I would tell her, you know, even if the Miami Marlins GM wasn't a woman, I would say, yes, you can do it. But now I can see it with even more confidence. I can tell her and look her in the eye and be like, I'm not lying to you. Like, this isn't some fairy tale. Like, this stuff actually happened and you can be whatever it is you want to be, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
something that I saw, you know, it's not the same when it hits my eyes because, you know, unfortunately, or, you know, however you want to look at it, I'm able to see people that look like me in the sports industry all over. But I think something that was really powerful, and this is just kind of an assumption for me because, again, I'm not a woman in sport, but women were able to see someone that looked like them do something that they didn't think they were able to do. And I think, again, this is just all assumption for me, but I think that that's a big step because now people are able to reference what they want with a real life example. So they're able to be like, I want to be a GM in sports, just like X, just like this person. Like, this person literally did it, so that means I can do it. And I think it also is powerful that she's not a white woman. I think that's a really powerful thing because, you know, I'm someone that watches a lot of sports, and depends how you look at it, but, you know, a lot of people, again, look like me. And I think that that's kind of an issue because if you don't bring new perspectives, no matter what the difference is, like, new perspectives are what keeps sports relevant and are what keeps sports, you know, relatable for everyone. If it was just a bunch of old white dudes, like, that wouldn't be very interesting because the perspective would all be the same and everyone would agree on it. But if you look at it with, you know, a bunch of different people, they're able to bounce different life experiences and different perspectives onto, you know, each person. And then that kind of creates a new culture that everyone can either agree with, they can communicate about, or they can kind of form to match however they want. So I think that's another big thing for people that, you know, want to have these aspirations that, you know, now they're possible.
Yeah. And I'm born and raised in Hawaii. So I grew up in a lot of diversity and culture. Like, a lot of times the majority of with ethnicities in Hawaii is actually the minorities in where I'm from. But I've always valued diversity. I think beauty comes in diversity. I think strength comes in diversity. Perspective, like you mentioned, Dakota. But I think for me, you know, seeing Kim as the Miami Marlins GM, you talked about she's Asian. And I come from an Asian background. I'm Japanese Filipino. And I did a Zoom call with Aaliyah. Shout out to Aaliyah Funchel. She put together a Zoom networking call that I got to talk to some high school students. And I noticed that there were some Asian students and minorities in there. And I was like, hey, like, this is a big step forward for all of us, for the whole sports industry. Because for me as a Filipino Japanese, the expectation is that I was going to work in the medical field. I was going to be a nurse. I was going to be a doctor, a physical therapist. Like, that's what's expected, right? Because we get this pressure, you know, from my grandparents who came from the Philippines to the US. They get this pressure to say, hey, you should go work in the profession that you for sure will know provide a lot of money and make you feel secure for your future, your family, and yourself. Mm-hmm. And working in sports, that's the opposite of that. There's no such thing in the beginning, especially in the beginning, making good money or being secure. Like we've seen with what's going on right now. I mean, it's happening across all jobs, but like with sports, people are dropping. Jobs are dropping like flies, unfortunately. I feel for everybody out there. Like, we're seeing departments cut director positions, entry-level positions, temporary positions. It's all happening. So I just feel like seeing that news, I think it was a light in the darkness that we're all going through right now. And I think it's helping us move towards the step, the right step. I'm curious now, you know, talking about this because I get passionate. As you can see, I get passionate about this just because my belief, my why of working in sports is the belief in the social mobility and the opportunity that sports provides. And that's why I do what I do. So what is your guys' why? Like, why did you choose sports? I mean, you're going through the struggles, Dakota, right now. Like, you could probably go get a job elsewhere, but you're super adamant on working in sports. And Kate, you're thinking in your head, I'm about to graduate in 2021. I'm headed into this world where I'll have to compete with 2020 graduates and all these people who are out of jobs. Like, it's a scary thing. But here you are still saying, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my foot in the door. So what's your guys' why behind the working in sports?
Yeah. So I guess I have a few whys. The first and probably most, the first one that comes to mind is, you know, I was an athlete for a lot of my life, especially my earlier life, played football, basketball, and baseball. So when I was growing up, there really wasn't a time where like I wasn't involved in sports. Football was during the fall, and I spent a good amount of time outside of football because that was the sport I liked the most. And then springtime baseball, and then winter football or basketball. So like there really wasn't a season where I wasn't, you know, with my buddies playing sports. And so I think, you know, fast forward to high school, I was focusing mainly on football. And I think it was my sophomore year going into junior year, had a few concussions and went to the doctor, and they were like, look, like, it's not safe for you to play anymore. We're not signing off. Like, we're not giving you permission to play. And so that was pretty tough. That was definitely a low point for sure. But I think being able to kind of transition that, you know, I still love sports, obviously. If you know me personally, you know that like Tuesday and Wednesday are the worst days of the week during football season, and Saturday, because there's just no, you know, professional football. I could watch Action's on Tuesday, so that's fine with me. I mean, my passion for sports is something that if anyone ever questions it, I'd love to chat with them, because I feel like when I talk about sports, when I'm involved in sports, when I'm, you know, anything in sports, the passion for me is never questioned, you know, whether it's by peers or myself. When I'm in sports, I feel like it's my home. And I guess another one of my whys is, you know, I cannot picture myself working in an industry where I'm not passionate about the work. That kind of ties into the first one, but like something I talk about a lot on the rookie contract is like I could never make content that I'm like passionate about if I'm working for a toothpaste company. Like, there's just not stories in toothpaste, you know, like someone maybe swallows too much toothpaste and like something happens, but like at the end of the day, it's really tough to make a story compelling about, you know, toothpaste or paper clips or just something like that. So for me, it was just like, I need to work in an industry where I can like enjoy it outside of working.
Yeah. Kind of going off of that, I would say my biggest why for wanting to go into sports definitely has to be the passion. I've always been surrounded by sports, grew up playing soccer up until high school. And I realized I wasn't going to be a professional soccer player. So sad. It's
never too late.
Maybe one day. But I realized, I think when I was like 8 years old, that I wanted to be in sports broadcasting, reporting, that sort of area. I know, very young. I didn't honestly know what broadcasting was. I think I remember watching a NCAA basketball tournament. I saw Tracy Wolfson calling the game, And that has always been like ingrained in my my mind. I was just like, whatever she's doing, I want to do that. It seems really cool. And I've just kind of been stuck with it to just follow that. And that's just kind of been like my overall goal, is to just do something that I enjoy doing. And what I enjoy doing is talking about sports, watching games, and just being around people that kind of share a similar outlook, because sharing that same sort of goal is ultimately what I want to give to other people. Sports are what keep me going, and this whole industry has kind of made me think like, hey, the community and everything makes me want to continue on doing this. So that's why I'm here.
Remember when I think it was one of your stories that you put out there, I think Tracy Wolf, did she like liked one of them, right?
It was pretty cool. She liked it and she commented on it. I was like,
dang,
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. I know. She's incredible. Tracy, if you're hearing this, you're
we want to interview
I thought this was achievable. So yeah, she's probably one of my biggest inspirations.
Well, it's been fun, guys. It's been fun having you on the podcast. We're going to wrap it up here, but I just want to give people a little taste of what the rookie contract, the personalities behind that, and to, you know, learning about Dakota and Kate, the people I've been able to learn about the past 5-6 months. And I'm glad now that you guys are part of my life. I'm glad that Sports is a Job has brought us together. And I'm sure as we progress through the sports industry, I mean, we're going to bring a lot of people along with us, and I'm sure we'll be able to meet in person one day. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to. Like, I keep zooming with all of you guys and texting. I'm like, we need to find somewhere.
We need to meet up next year.
When is the LA Olympics? That's the next summer Olympics, isn't it?
2024, maybe.
I think so. I don't know what it is, but we'll find something. Maybe we'll find a Super Bowl or NBA Finals or something. We'll be like, hey, everybody that was a part of the Sports is a Job team, let's go meet here, buy a ticket, and we'll meet in this one town for this one game.
That'd be sick. Yeah. I would definitely be down. I mean, it could be to play Wii tennis. I don't really care, but I'm very down, because not to get sappy, but yeah, you guys rock. Super happy to have met you guys. Definitely a big impact on my life, big impact on kind of my journey, and definitely appreciative for every one of you guys. You know, no one of you guys kind of go over the other, and so I think it's a good family to be a part of. That's a big thing I'm big on, is kind of like the company. I think of them as like a family. We all go through stuff together, and I think that family is really what helps everyone kind of get through it. You know, stuff isn't easy all the time, but you know, when you're able to have those people you can lean on, it makes it a whole lot easier.
We're talking to all of you Sports is Job listeners and everybody in the community. Yeah. Dakota was talking about you as well, and that's what I'm talking about as well. Is like everybody that we've interacted with through the social media, the podcasts, and articles that we get to speak to. I mean, you're all part of this family. So send us those DMs, message us. We love to hear from you guys. We love the questions. Yeah. We love the chat. Dakota, Kate, can you plug your guys' social media, your individual social medias, and then plug away at the rookie contract social media as well?
Yeah. So I'll start with the rookie contract. On Instagram, it's at the rookie contract. On Twitter, it's at rookie underscore contract. And then my Twitter is at Dakota Zintech. Tough to spell, but you can find me that way. And I don't have a personal Instagram, so
you need
I'm just
to get
kinda,
you on IG, man.
I know.
It's bothering me.
I know. I'm repping the brand. So I'm here for the team on the front, not the back.
He's repping the brand. My Twitter and Instagram, they're under the same name. Kate Norum, which is my name.
Nice.
Because we don't like to trick people. Using other names on other social media accounts.
I know. That's someone so stole weird, the Twitter right? one.
That's crazy. That's so lame. Yeah. So follow us up.
I guess, yeah, an easy way to find us is our link tree. It has every one of our links. So I can send that over to you, Colby. And I don't exactly know how to look up a link tree, but I know if you click on our link tree link, it sends you to it. So it's easy enough. Just one click and you have all of them.
Well, thank you to all of you Sports the Job listeners for taking the time to listen. If you do have social media, follow Kate. She keeps it simple, keeps it basic, easy to find. Don't listen to Dakota there.
Thank you.
If you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast, please leave us a rating and review. Hit that subscribe button in all podcast platforms. Visit us on sportsisjob.com. We got all the podcasts on there, such as the Rookie Contract, the Cutback Podcast, our newest edition, and then also the Outnumbered Podcast as well. So again, until next time, like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.